Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to GWA Uncut. Yes, we are live and back on the air in Season 27, in a new time slot. I'm Hall of Famer Magic Ref Mark Green, and we're going to go right to the phones. But yes, we are live, and we are taking calls. So please call us up at our new number, 619-566-0945. Looks like we're rocking the San Diego area code. We're going to go right to the phone right now. Caller, you're live on Uncut. Who's this? Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, sir. You are live on Uncut.
This is the leader of the shadows, the killer.
The killer, okay. The killer has joined us. And I'm glad you're here, killer, because there's been a lot of talk, especially in the dirt sheet world, if you want to call it that, about the possible return of Apocalypse. And I think you can shed some light on this, because I know you guys were at each other's throats previously. I mean, this goes back a while now. Of course, for those who don't know, he brought you into the GWA really as part of the Shadows a while back. And as time went on, you kind of took over the Shadows. And at last season's Revelation, you won your family back. And that would be symbolic, because you would bring back the Shadows this season as Shadows 2.0. But there's more behind that, because Apocalypse, not always happy with the way you've conducted yourself as part of the Shadows organization. In fact, last year at Nuclear Winter, he appeared and delivered a total apocalypse to you following your dumpster match with Mike Leo, and then he eliminated you last season at the Riot in the Ring. So we saw a lot of hostility between yourself and your former stablemate, stable leader, really, Apocalypse. But then Apocalypse would once again disappear. So now we're hearing rumblings maybe back. I know there's been some back and forth. Can you shed some light on the situation?
See, I think Apocalypse is nothing but an old has-been. See, he brought me in. He saw talent. And that's exactly what I am, is talent. Yeah, I had my bad season. But guess what? I'm back. I'm injuring people like I've always done before. And now Apocalypse just wants to come back and then call me out and have the balls to call me out and not even show up. Well, see, now all Apocalypse is an old has-been coward. If he wants to keep it up, meet me in the middle of the ring and shut up. That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah, so obviously you're standing firm. You're challenging Apocalypse. I think the intrigue here is on his end. What's he going to do? Is he going to show up? Like we said, we haven't seen him really in some time in the GWA arena. So is it just all talk, or is it actually going to happen? I mean, last season we thought we were going to get the fight last year. We thought we were going to get it. It never materialized. I guess you're saying if he does show up, we're going to see it. The question is he ever going to show up? Or is he just going to be one of these things where it's a coulda, woulda, shoulda been, but we don't get to see the fight?
See, all I think it is a bunch of jealousy. Because I came in and I dominated the GWA scene. I injured people. I'm the one that injured the most people in history. And he got jealous and disappeared. Now he wants to come back? He's too old to get in that ring. He wants to get in the ring with me? I'll break his hip.
Well, let's talk Tournament of Bruises, Killer. We have the Tournament of Bruises coming up. What are your plans for TOB? I mean, I know you also have your share of victories over the new world champion. Are your sights set in that direction, or are you looking to enter the tournament this year?
I'd like to hold the title again, but if I have to join the Tournament of Bruises to get my shot again at Revelations, I would do it. I'd like to become a two-time, and this time be a better champion than I was last time. Last time was kind of a fluke. Won't happen again.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, you won the title, was it at November Rain, a couple of years ago, but then you lost it a few weeks later?
I did what I wanted to do, and I got basically overjealous of overzealous because I wanted to take that down the Firestarters myself.
That's right.
And it was 4-on-1 pretty much because my team didn't have my back. The Shadows fell apart after the Tower death. And I believe that I brought in a couple people, but they still didn't have my back. So it was 4-on-1. This time it's different. I got people that had my back. So if they want to go and, you know, Five Stars want to fight, let's fight. I beat the champion. Actually, I beat the ex-champion, Brewer, on day one of the season. So I, you know, it's, they want to go, let's go. Shadows versus Firestarters. But first, I'm going to take on this Hasman. This Hasman never shows up.
Okay. Seems like you have a lot on your plate as we look towards the Tournament of Bruises. And it's kind of an interesting scenario where, on the one hand, you might be in a position to challenge for the GWA World title. I don't know. We do know that there will be a title match on that card. We don't know who the challenger will be. It could be, certainly be an opportunity for you to get that title. On the other hand, winning the Tournament of Bruises and really etching your name in history as the tournament winner and then going on to Main Event Revelation where you would get a chance to challenge for the title. I mean, these are all big things, of course, as well, but who knows if you could even get to the end. I mean, you know, winning 3 matches in one night, very gruesome tournament. There's a lot on the line there. A lot could happen. You know, maybe if you have the opportunity to get the title shot, take it while you can. But, you know, who knows? That's ultimately going to be up to the... So I guess all we can do at this point is speculate. But you brought up the Firestarters, Killer, and I think an interesting thing we also should point out here is that the Firestarters began back at the Tournament of Bruises in 2015, 2 years ago, and they reformed last year. Now, if you look at the rankings this season, they have a dominant lead, as they usually do. I mean, I would say at this point, family of the year, family of all time, I mean, I think they've surpassed the Ring Syndicate, the best families we've had of all time, as the top of the line in GWA history. And that's saying a lot. I mean, I've been here since the 1990s, and the Firestarters are the cream of the crop. With Brewer currently on the shelf, but the new world champion, that which we'll talk about more in the show, perhaps this is an opportunity for someone else, like the Shadows 2.0, or even like the Brotherhood, to step in and take over and finally knock the Firestarters off that pedestal. What do you think about that?
See, yeah, the only person that's dominating the scene at the moment is my brother. The other ones ain't doing nothing. My brother's been dominating the scene for a while now, and we all know that. You know, that's the only thing that's keeping the Firestarters going. If it was without him, there would be no Firestarters at the moment. He decided to throw in and go with Brewer, which was, I thought was a bad mistake, but he's his own man. He does what he does. But anyway, the Firestarters need to get down and they need to be taught a lesson. They ain't the best there is. See,
the problem is,
if they really want,
catching up to them in the rankings is going to take titles, holding on to titles for weeks at a time. That's how they caught such a big lead. I mean, that's how they dominate. You know, the wins week in and week out are one thing, but when you hold on to those titles, you wrap points very rapidly, and that's how they've jumped out ahead. I mean, for the Shadows to overtake them, it would require someone like yourself holding on to that world title or holding on to the world tag team titles for weeks and weeks and months. Otherwise, they're going to run away with the season again.
That's my point there, Mark, is the reason why they've held on to those titles, if you think about it, is my brother. That's
right.
The only reason. Brewer don't get in those
props
matches
as well. I mean, he's been world champion for a long time. He finally was dethroned, but he's been holding on to that title for a while, and he had it, what, 8 times already? I mean, again, unprecedented.
I give credit where credit's due. I give Brewer that. He is, you know, he's held that title for a while, but, you know, I got to give him where his credit's due. But he's starting to get up there where he's losing his touch. Past the torch already. He's young bucks.
Great time to do that. And a Tournament of Bruises is a symbolic time because, as we mentioned, it's when the Firestarters were first formed. Really an iconic moment looking back in the history of the GWA back in 2015 when they set the ring ablaze. I mean, that, you know, hence the term Firestarters. So, yes, maybe this is one of those moments. We're going to go back to the phone because we are live on Uncut, and I'm going to open it up. Caller, you're on Uncut. Who's this?
Hello, it's Thane.
Yes, sir. This is the international champion, Thane Bell. Great to have you live on Uncut. Thane, what's going on?
I'm doing good. Just here, you know, relax and get ready for this interview, whatever we're doing here.
Okay. Well, Thane, while you're on the phone, a few things I want to talk about. First of all, the international title. Congratulations. You won it in a very tough match at November Rain, a Texas death match. And I know that the symbolism, if you will, is not lost on you, given the fact that the international title was created at November Rain back in 2013. So here we are 4 years later, you winning that international title, certainly deservedly so. And you and Dillon Black, two rookies from last season, really fighting over that title this season, I think impressing all of us. It started with Dillon winning the international title at Revelation last season, but then this season was on the October 8th edition of Sunday Showcase. You were to defeat him for the international title. 2 weeks later, he regained it from you on Sunday Showcase. And then at November Rain, 2 weeks after that, you beat him in that Texas death match. So you certainly entertained all of us, I think it's safe to say, with that rivalry. But you emerged the victor. Now we're looking towards the Tournament of Bruises. Is that what you have next in your sight? And in addition, I guess I'll mention Blitz, who came back in trying to make a name for himself. I'm not sure, though, if he really got one over on you or not.
Well, you know, you kind of asked three questions. So yeah, at November Rain, yeah, we had that amazing match, arguably the most hyped up match at November Rain. I know everybody was looking forward to it, and we certainly provided. Very proud with the result, of course, me winning. And now at Tournament of Bruises, of course I'm going to be setting my sights in this. I mean, this is an opportunity. Since I've come back, I have been one of the most talked about stars in GWA. Right now, I think myself, Doom Train, and I believe Dillon Black have the best records right now, arguably.
We're all tied.
Yeah, we're all tied, actually. That's what I was trying to say. We're all tied right now currently. Now going into this is a huge opportunity for me because I've always said ever since I first came in here that my goal in here is to make a name for myself and get a championship. And currently right now I am doing that. But with the Tournament of Bruises, I want to main event Revelations. I want to go in there and be the man who's holding both the international and the GWA championship. I don't know if that's against the rules, but hey, you know what? Screw it. You know? And with Blitz, honestly, you know, it's a subjective viewpoint. Some people say that he got one over with me because he's trying to make a name for himself, which I completely understand. I'm the guy right now currently to make a name for yourself since I'm putting on the best matches, since I'm putting on these promos and all that stuff, the Spokesperson of the Year award, you know, last season, you know. I mean, it's understandable because I'd do the same thing if I was in his boots, you know. I'm just saying, like, right now, I think this is a good year so far, you know, because I completely switched around. Last season, I tried being the nice guy. I tried to be the man that, you know, goes in there and smiles. I'm so happy to be here, folks. And guess what? I sucked ass. You know, my record was terrible, you know, and since I came back, you know, it's been amazing.
That's a good point. You know, Dillon Black did win Rookie of the Year, and it seems this season, at least, you've gotten the better of him thus far, emerging certainly victorious and holding that international title at the end of your war. You know, certainly making that impression, that first impression all over again at the Riot in the Ring when you returned. And it's really been full steam ahead since then. So I think a lot of people would not be surprised to see you win the Tournament of Bruisers. I think you've got the tenacity to do it, survive three matches. We saw Johnny Three Tears do it before. We saw Brewer do it before. I think Dane Bell could be another person who can get that done and then go on to main event revelation. I mean, what a sweet sophomore season that would be, especially if you can cap it off by winning that world title. Some have even said, by the way, that you and Dylan have elevated the status of the international title to the point where it's seen as almost as prestigious as the world title at this point. What are your thoughts on that?
I completely, that's our goal. That's honestly our goal, is to make the international championship something again, because, you know, and everyone here knows I'm very outspoken, but before us, nobody honestly cared about the international championship. Our goal was to make it the workhorse title. And honestly, I think we have succeeded, because guess what? Now, you know, just like when Brewer was the champion, it's like what I said to him. I don't have to kidnap and whatever my victim, my next, you know, enemies and all that stuff. I go out there and I fight. You know, that's what I do. I'm a warrior. I'm Lakota, you know. So it's, I mean, that's the international championship. My goal is to make it more prestigious than the main championship right now. I want every rookie to come in, and that's their first goal, you know.
Wow. Okay. Well, now that we have yourself and the Killer on the line, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the new GWA World Champion, Veronica Moon. She finally got the job done, defeating Brewer in a no disqualification rematch after winning by DQ at November Rain. So she has dethroned the champion. She's the new champion. And it seems like immediately causing a little bit of trouble. We saw the return of Rockshay this past week. Veronica Moon, after she won the world title, said an ally would be returning. It turned out to be Rockshay. Now, Rockshay and Veronica collided last season at Revelation, and it was Veronica emerging victorious, which I believe really paved the way for her to win that world title this season. However, Rockshay claimed he was back to congratulate her and also to get back at her. He wanted back at Revelation, this time to face her for the world title, and he said he was going to do it by going through the Tournament of Bruisers. Well, in his first match back, what happened? Veronica Moon was there, it looked like, to watch his back, but came into the ring perhaps prematurely and ended up kicking him in the face. Was it an accident? Was it not? Rockshay not so sure. This would lead to Rockshay being injured in the killjoy applied by Rob Wyatt. And now it looks like Rockshay may not make it to the Tournament of Bruisers. So, yeah, I want to get both of your thoughts on this, Killer and Thane. Do you think Veronica did this intentionally to put Rockshay on the shelf, or was it an honest mistake?
See, if she did her reshoots, a legend like that, it's going to take a lot more to put down. You're not going to pin a legend like that that easily. So if she was doing her research, she should have known Rockshay had some more energy in him to kick out. He had what it took. So I'm thinking she had a motive. Maybe, hey, this dude's after my title. I'm going to take him out. He's already said that he was going to gun for me for my title. I'm taking him out. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Well, you know, in my honest opinion, with this whole ordeal right now, is honestly, it doesn't bother me one way or another, because in the end, this whole fiasco with this Veronica, Rockshay, Brewer, whatever's going on, it doesn't matter, because in the end, you know, it's going to be me reigning supreme. But if I had to, if I had to oblige you, so, you know, I would say if I was Veronica, you know, since, you know, she's the step after Brewer, you know, and the world championship is so tainted right now. Every single person who's held it had to do something to cheat their way to win or whatever. Yeah, totally. I could see her doing that. That's her motive, is to take out her her enemies, you know. So Brewer's done it. Everyone who's the champion, the world championship, has done it. So, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, given the cutthroat nature of this business, and like you said, what has happened with the world title in recent history, it would not surprise me if that were the case. On the other hand, Rockshay did indicate part of his motive was to protect Veronica so that she could hold on to the title until Revelation, so they could have that rematch. So perhaps she's actually hurting herself by taking out someone who would have otherwise watched her back. But then again, maybe you can't trust someone like Rockshade either. You know, I really don't know. Now we're left with a situation where we don't know if Rockshade will even make it to the Tournament of Bruises, because to qualify, you have to have a top eight record, and that would require him to win a few matches. It's tough right now. The competition is really tough with guys like Thane Bell and Doom Train and Dylan Black, et cetera. I don't know if he will qualify. Who do you guys see making it, and who do you not see making it?
If I was Rockshade, I'd fight through my injury, especially when the Tournament of Bruises is coming up. Something that prestigious on main eventing the main show of every season, Revelations. I would fight through the injury and try at least. Then he can at least tell himself that he tried to be something.
Right.
Otherwise, he can just sit down and whine and bitch and moan about his injuries and all that. And then he can say he didn't put enough effort into going to the TOB. But that's just my opinion on that.
See, with this, you know, Tournament of Bruises, your name will forever be etched in history. No matter what happens between yourself and GWA in the future, that your name will forever be on that, you know, as a prior winner, you know. So with Rockshade, I don't know the guy. I've never spoke to him. I've never even seen this guy, really. You know, I don't know his personality, but, you know, I have to honestly agree with Killer. I would push myself. If I was in his shoes, I would constantly be pushing myself to the tip top of my whatever you want to call it, my endurance and all that stuff. You know, I'd be going at it more and more, trying my best to get into this tournament, because that'd tell an amazing story.
Yeah, I suppose if anyone could do it, it's the legend, although we'll have to see if maybe he doesn't have it in him anymore. I mean, people said he should have called it quits a while ago. We'll see. You know, I guess we'll have to see if he can fight through this.
Yeah.
The Tournament of Bruises does come your way next month, but the seeds and the brackets are crystallized as of the Week 10 rankings. We only really have a couple of weeks, and we'll know how this tournament will look. One seed versus eight seed, et cetera. So everyone is scrambling not just to be in the tournament in some cases, but also to get the best record possible so that you have a top seed. I mean, Thane mentioned it earlier. You've got right now three competitors who are going to be in this tournament with the same record. And so we'll have to have some ties broken here to see who's seeded against whom. But I do want to move on because we've got something else that I wanted to bring up in this show, and that's the Dangerous Brothers. They've made their return, that of course being Johnny Bulldog and Mike Leo, former GWA World Tag Team Champions. They're saying that they're going to perform the Crocodile Snog, whatever that means, on the Hated. But perhaps we'll see new Tag Team Champions as early as this Sunday. I know Killer will have something to say about this. Your brother, Doom Train, is not going to want to see that happen. But with Brewer on the shelf, will he have a substitute partner, or is Doom Train going to be going at this alone?
We all know Doom Train always has his back against that wall. And he always comes up on top, usually. If Doom Train was smart, which sometimes he can use his ego, and he's not so smart, he would find a partner. Maybe a talented wrestler like a rookie like Thane Bell there, a nice newcomer, a guy that actually knows what he's doing in that ring. You don't want to go guys with like Crusher that absolutely is still learning and losing, even though he's part of my team. I'm trying to teach him a little bit. But, you know, he's
Crusher
still a kid.
Crusher has a lot of heart, but
so,
his record is pretty pathetic this season.
Exactly. So, I'm trying to teach him the ropes a little bit, trying to toughen him up. He's still a kid, so still yellow. So, maybe he would ask Thane if he would be a part of, you know, substitution, or maybe he will talk to Testimony, his own teammate, and talk to him and see what's going on there.
Well, that's a good substitute.
I'd find a
Why
partner
not to the
because, you know, like, I wouldn't want to go against the Dangerous Brothers alone, especially with Leo in there, a power hitter. Then you throw in Bulldog, High Flyer. So you don't want to go in there alone, even though my brother thinks he got what it takes to do it. He's done it before. He's took it on two people before and came out on top.
Yes, you're right. But do you want to risk that against the Dangerous Brothers, though? One of the best tag teams in the history of GWA.
In a title match, you're not going to want to. He's had that international title and he did a three-way and came out on top. But every time his back's against the wall, he's always got a trick up his sleeve and he's always, proving people wrong. So I'm hoping he can find somebody. I might not be in town, so I can't do it.
Okay.
So,
well, what about the situation regarding the money and the contract of Johnny Gravely, who's now Johnny Bulldog again? Can you shed some light on that, Doom Train? Killer.
My brother actually. He has his ego going where he's untouchable. He's been beat a couple times this season, and it really pissed him off. coming out from the last couple of seasons, he was untouchable. Nobody could really touch him. And then he lost to a guy named Bell twice, back-to-back, and it really just pissed him off. And,
Technically, which I
congratulate Thane Bell for doing. He wants to prove everybody, hey, either I put this money up or you shut up. So he wants to see who has the balls to wrestle him in the ring. In that contract, Wood has it that Bulldog will become a manager very, very soon. That's what I'm hearing from the rumor.
Okay. Now the money. All right. So yeah, I'm trying to follow all this now because I believe it was originally intended to be a one-on-one match between Doom Train and Mike Leo for the money, but then it turned into a tag team match with the Dangerous Brothers. So now does the winner of the tag match get the titles and the money, or how does that work?
No, it's a one-on-one match. Is what I'm assuming is what he told me is 1v1.
Mm-hmm.
If his shoulders are pinned to the mat within a certain time limit, he will hand you the money and shake your hand.
And we're talking about $250,000.
Yes, $250,000 is in that bay. He showed it to everybody on national television.
He did.
I actually touched it. I was going to actually take that challenge, but usually he's out of the building by the time I even get there.
Okay.
So
this is good. So we're learning about this now. So as far as you understand, this is not just about Mike Leo. It's anyone who can defeat him, Doom Train, in this time limit, certain time limit, gets the money? Is that what it is?
Yes. I think it's like a certain like 5-minute limit or something like that.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
I believe. I can get more details and stuff like that, but I know he's coming out, I think this Sunday, and he's going to explain some more. I believe that's what he was saying.
Well, we look forward to that on Sunday. But real quick, because we're running out of time here, the issue with the contract. At November Rain, Doom Train defeated Johnny Gravely and seemed like he got possession of his contract. Now Johnny Gravely is Johnny Bulldog with the Dangerous Brothers. What's the story with the contract now? Does Mike Leo and Johnny Bulldog have to fight for it, or what is happening with that?
See, how I know is that Leo wanted to fight Doom Train for the contract, and that's what's going to have to happen before he's officially Bulldog. Doom Train's already told him that, so maybe this Tuesday it would be Doom Train versus Leo. But see, that's interesting there, because if Leo loses, Leo's contract is also Doom Train's.
Uh-huh.
So, Doom Train is collecting
Leo
contracts.
Back to Crimson Dragon. What's going to happen with him?
So I'm not sure what's going on with that. I know for a fact that Doom Train was thinking about putting $1 million in on the pot. So I think his ego is just getting the best of him.
What's going on? How's he getting all his money?
What the fuck?
Remember, he is the longest reigning champion of DWA
history.
That
is true, in history. That comes with its perks. You're absolutely right. And with that, I think we have to wrap up here. It's been a very special edition of Uncut. Thank you to Killer and Thane Bell for calling in. We'll see you this Sunday on Showcase. Have a good night.
Good night.